And he's missing his fucking index finger.
Men don't have to be lookers if they're cashed up.
I tried to rub my nuts on his face.
Hello and welcome. We are back. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. I am once again your host, Brian Beckner. Stoked you are here. Stoked you are joining us for episode 105 of the program. A lot to get to today, as always. Before we do that, I like to let you know how to get in contact with us. I like this to be an interactive thing. We have some good emails and voicemails to get to. Today, email and voicemail. I feel like emails and voicemails is wrong, and I know it's wrong to say that. The plural is email and voicemail, so I'll try to fix that next time. If you want to email the show, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com is the address. You can also send us a voicemail, 949-464-TBLS. And as always, some good stuff happening on our Facebook page, the Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Facebook. There's been a lot to react to there. Stuff that we don't necessarily talk about on the show. I've been called out. A lot of calling out going on. Some tragedies, multiple tragedies. It is pretty enjoyable to be a part of our Facebook community. So if you're not there, you're missing out. I'm just going to tell you that right now, because it's the show is more interactive than you think. And the show's only an hour plus a week, but we're still around. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, and we're also on our Facebook page. And there's a lot of interaction going on there. So I would suggest you go there, the Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Facebook. And as always, I checked our iTunes comments, reviews is the word I was looking for this week. And there's a bunch of reviews on there, all 5 stars, all very, very nice, genuine reactions from people there. So I appreciate everybody that's gone onto iTunes, subscribed to the show, and reviewed and rated the show there. That's really cool. Speaking of that, one of the comments I read on iTunes was just 3 words, more Ed Daly. He joins us now. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing well. You know how moments in life, the great moments are never the planned moments.
That's true.
New Year's Eve is never the best party.
Big letdown.
Right? And you never know when your greatest moments will happen. Well, I can definitively say yesterday was the greatest moment of my life.
Tell us about it.
And, you know, when people say, oh, the birth of my kids and stuff, like, the day they're born, like, no fucking way. Like,
you're up for 24 hours.
Yeah, there's
straight.
There's worry. There's
yes, yeah, very stressful.
Potential complications. Like, no fucking way is the first day. Like, no.
Then you got to take care of them. Then there's a realization. Right. There's one more person you have to take care of.
Right. You're garbage if you say that's your best day.
Agreed.
I was wearing a hoodie. I was wearing an Eazy-E hoodie.
Sweet. Only you would own such an item, by the way, but okay.
And it says Easy Does It, like D-U-Z.
That's an album. He had an album called that.
Yeah, Easy and it's a pretty sweet sweatshirt. But I was not thinking about the fact that I wore it. I just threw on a hoodie. Right. Snow day, I was walking with my kids, and maybe a 22-year-old guy, like very young guy.
Yeah.
And although race shouldn't play a factor, like
it does.
It does.
You can't not.
Black dude came up to me.
Yeah.
Came walking down the sidewalk, he goes, I gotta say, that sweatshirt is dope. And maybe he said dope as hell. Maybe I'm upgrading it in my own mind. But either way, he used the word, he said, that sweatshirt is dope. And I was like, hey, thanks. And like my kids aren't impressed because they're fine. It's 6 and 8. They don't even know who Easy is.
No.
But like
they don't get it.
It was, you know, that's validation. That I don't care about seeming cool, looking cool, but somehow that felt fucking... That was like, I've never done heroin. That, to me, is probably what heroin feels like.
No, it's... And you're right. Race shouldn't play a factor, but when a cool black guy acknowledges you and says you're cool...
Yeah, and he didn't...
I mean, it's a good feeling.
He didn't look like Urkel. He looked like just a cool, like, regular black dude.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, he
was unloading a truck.
He respected your Eazy-E sweatshirt, so he had to have some cool factor.
He was a like, working guy.
He knew
guy.
What was up.
He wasn't some bum. He was a working guy. Yeah. He was just in the middle of his job. I was walking by him on the sidewalk, and he felt like while he's on the clock, he's going to tell me my sweatshirit was dope. And it fucking... It's the greatest moment of my life. I'm not going to lie.
That is, yeah. That
way
is,
better than my wedding day. Way better than any moment of my life, for sure.
That had to be a good feeling. I'm really, really happy for you.
Yeah, I'm happy for myself.
But I'm also unhappy for you because today we learned we lost perpetual old guy Abe Vigoda, who at this point was most famous still being alive.
Yeah, he was playing with house money. Tessio. What?
Not Tessio from The Godfather. 94 years young, an iconic dude. He will be missed, but I'm sad for the Vigoda family, but also sad for Ed Daly, who had chosen.
Well, I had him in 2014.
Yes, you went back to him. You went back to the well.
His 92nd year, I was fine with it. And then I jumped off him. I took George Kennedy last year.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going back Vigoda.
Yeah.
And I got greedy. I got to admit, there was greed involved. Hubris.
It's true. Well, I've been riding this Zsa Zsa Gabor wave for a few years now.
They're going limb by limb.
Eventually.
Limb by limb.
Yes, she's in pieces, but thoughts and prayers to the Vigoda family, and more so, thoughts and prayers to my buddy Ed Daly, who kept Abe Vigoda in the front of our minds on this show often.
Rip fish.
R.I.P. Agreed. Okay, we got some emails. Let's bang through these.
Yeah.
Brian, somebody actually sent you pics. He's referring to, we talked last week about our listener, Johnny Football, who had a life coaching dilemma. Maybe, I don't know, it's been a while, a year ago, probably.
I got to think he's just fully embraced it and living in Europe, right?
He might be in Sweden, but this show is available in Sweden. He could reach out. He has the ability to reach out.
Oh, well, he must just be, you know, going at it. He's just off the grid now.
Right. Let's all take a moment and show a little respect to the compliance of the On Her code in its full glory. Of course, he's referring to my well-known at Brigham Young University one time, some players got suspended for violating the honor code when it came to fraternizing with women.
You mean black guys, right? Because
of course.
The white guys never get caught at BYU.
Well, and also they're already married. And I immediately announced that I had my own On Her code, which is the opposite of the honor code in that anybody who has any kind of sexual activity, I want to know about it. So yeah, this Johnny Football is adhering to the On Her code by sending me pictures of his Swedish stewardess in various states of undress. But at the same time, he needs to give us an update. The honor code dictates that we need to know what is going on. So Johnny Football, reach out. He continues, gents, in your most recent episode, a question was asked about Ed regarding The Bachelor. I think I mentioned this before, but as a non-fan of The Bachelor, the best thing about your segment is knowing Ed has checked out and yet remains in the discussion. I couldn't agree more. A muted game on TV in the background is the least surprising show reveal ever. That is from our friend Rome Show. Ed, you don't have to respond.
I mean, right now, it's Oklahoma City 83, Knicks 83. So I'm just prepping for a Bachelor conversation.
I had last night, you know me, Ed. I do not watch very much sports. Unless we're talking about the Rugby World Cup final or something really important, the Dodgers are in the playoffs. I'm not a huge sports fan, but last night I saw that the Golden State Warriors were playing the Spurs, And I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. That's the two best teams in the Western Conference.
Big time matchup. Sure.
Yeah. And also, the woman I live with has announced that her two favorite teams are the Warriors and the Spurs. And I'm like, you can't, they're rivals. And she's like, well, all teams are rivals, which I didn't really have a good response to.
Right. So she's essentially a 6-year-old boy. Right.
Huge. Like, yes. She just picks whoever she's heard of. And so I go, hey, let's throw that on. Let's watch it. First of all. And so then it takes me forever to find TNT. I'm looking for TNT because that's usually where national games are on. And it takes me like 25 minutes to find that channel.
Right. Because you're not watching like the hardcore drama, The Librarians or whatever their shitty shows
are. I have DirecTV and it's like in the 200s somewhere. So I finally find it. It's not there. And I go, oh, well, sometimes the games, I don't know like the schedule of the national games. So I go, oh, I know it's on ESPN and ESPN is 206. I know that channel because sometimes I go there. So I don't even have
DirecTV and I know 206 is ESPN on DirecTV.
Right. Yeah. So if you're at a bar, you go, hey, 206. Cause the people at the bar never know the channel when you figure they're being asked to tune in sports channels all the time. Right. And so you have to be really quick.
Yeah, like, that's 206. True. You work at a sports bar, like fucking know your channels.
You should know your channels. Yeah. So I go to 206. And it's not there. And I go, well, this is like a big game. I see people talking about on Twitter, like somebody's watching it somewhere.
Massive game.
Yeah. So I go, so I had to do the thing where I like search, like go to sports and search.
Right.
And it's on NBA TV. So I go, oh, okay, I'll turn it on there. I don't get that channel.
Nobody should get that channel.
Whatever package I have does not include NBA TV. So I was unable. I wanted to watch a game. And I was unable to, unfortunately. So I tried to be a sports fan. Okay, more emails. I digress.
That was good effort. Good effort.
Thanks. Brian, in the previous The Baller Lifestyle episodes, you said that you aspire to be a Vine star, YouTube sensation, and what else am I forgetting? Svengali? Yeah, that's one. That's from Ish. I remembered one because I'm having a hard time remembering these. I also, Ed,
mm-hmm.
Tumblr stud.
Ooh, those are dick pics, right?
I don't know. It sounds like something you want to be like
confident desired. Enough that you're posting your hog kind of.
Yeah, thing. Vine star, YouTube sensation, Tumblr stud, Svengali. I feel like there were five. Maybe somebody can help us with the fifth because there's so much genius pours out of us on this show. It's very difficult to remember.
Hey, one thing about Vine star.
Oh yeah, they're the worst.
Yeah. I saw something yesterday. I think Ad Age or one of these, you know, major publications did a thing on like this prominent Vine star, and my buddy sent me the link. And within the story, they had a compilation. Right, these are 6-second videos, and the compilation was like 2 minutes long. And this is like all of his life's work. And I really could only get through about half of it, 2/3 of it.
Do you know the guy's name?
No, he was a good-looking, like in good shape, young guy, and it pretty much it's essentially what is the thing when everybody dances like you're not flash mob?
Oh yeah, flash mob. Yeah,
that's essentially what Vine stars do. They like flash mob you. Like they show up at the supermarket and they start singing Neil Diamond at the checkout line. Yeah. Like that's what it is, and it's like. Oh, this guy's got, you know, great abs. So he takes off his clothes and starts singing, you know, Sweet Caroline. Like,
oh, I hate this guy.
And this guy has got millions of followers and he's making millions of dollars. But that's what passes for comedy. And it just, my response to my buddy was, I think this just means I'm old. I'm not going to say like, oh, you know, they're no talent. Like, this is what people are into. Like the younger, you know, and by younger, I mean like, under 30, like not even like not even like 12 and under, like
yes,
everyone under 30, they're into this shit, and I have no answer for it.
There's
it's essentially flash mobs.
There's someone I know, and you know this person too.
Via
virtually,
we're okay.
Both you and I virtual friends with this person.
Yeah,
and this person I know is obsessed. With a particular Vine star. And this person has just learned that the Vine star does some of his vines. He does his vining with a neighbor of this person.
Well, there's interacting with neighbors too.
Yeah. So that's true. Well, I don't know. I don't know how this person became aware of this. I think through watching the vines, this person was able to go, oh, hey, I recognize that location.
Oh, no.
And it turns out that this person is like an adjacent neighbor to a friend of a Vine star. And this person has started to stalk this Vine star's location. The person I'm talking about has been known to listen to this show. So he or she may hear this, and this person needs to be shamed.
I can think of two words.
Yeah.
One, problematic.
Yes.
Two, upsetting.
Yeah, both.
Yeah.
Both excellent words. Okay, there's more. Brian and Ed, I'm hoping you both can offer some life coaching for a problem I've run into. We're not even through January, and I've already maxed out my Roth IRA and my 401k for the year. What would you guys suggest I look? Would you guys suggest I look for a tax-deferred annuity or possibly real estate? Any help you could give me would be much appreciated. Thanks, Dean and Clemson. Wow. Guys got it going. Yeah.
Dean, couple things. Yeah. First, that email sounds kind of big time. But
right.
Aren't you maxed out? Roth is for the smaller contributions, right?
I don't know. I'm 401k, you can put like 12 grand into,
yeah,
right?
You max out both for sure. Right. Max out whatever you can, and always do that. Because you max out early in the year, and then later in the year, you can't contribute to it. So then that's more income.
Yes.
But always max out whatever you can. But you know what? The Chappelle Show sketch. Wu-Tang Financial.
Right?
Gotta diversify your bonds, man.
That's true.
Diversify. Always.
Diversify.
Always.
Yeah. Always. Good. That's good advice. Ed's a finance guy. He knows. Also, is Clemson a place? I thought that was just a school. Is Clemson in Clemson?
I mean, I assume he's in South Carolina.
Okay. I'm just wondering if he's making...
Oh, if he was, and that was, you know what? Ego. You know, that Clemson is kind of... SEC country.
Yeah.
Like, you go to, you know, you would say, oh, they're in the ACC, but like, you wouldn't say the Clemson girls are like Duke girls. Like, Duke girls are historically ugly. But Matt Doherty, I remember when he was UNC's coach, he said, yeah, the Duke cheerleaders are the ugliest in the nation. Wow. But anyway, I'm just saying, Clemson, those are SEC caliber girls. So, like, he might be living in a hotbed of talent.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. I've never been to Clemson, South Carolina, but I heard it's a hotbed of talent.
I believe you. Okay, here's another one. High as fuck watching the Australian Open. Whoa. This asshole Boris Becker is whooping and hollering in the first row behind Djokovic. He's out there playing Michael Chang. Hold on. I might have to sneeze. Fucker is snagging airtime and peacocking some shitty FOBS Ed Hardy-esque tennis hat. Anyway, this isn't the most offensive thing about the other B-Bex that I discovered tonight. I just read that this monster had his then father-in-law photograph him and his wife in the nude for a German magazine.
Oh.
I couldn't imagine a normal dude wanting to share more than a Hofbräu with their father-in-law, much less their raw bratwurst. How do you get a little fluff going on for that photo? How big of a monster is Boris fucking Becker? That's from Juan Largo. Ed, Boris Becker, monster?
Well, he's German.
Yeah. They have a lot of deals.
Right, there's a whole...
Sexual. Yeah.
Right, we're grading on a different curve here.
That's true.
And also, he comes from the 80s. And really, when you think of 80s tennis stars, you think of one word and one word only.
John McEnroe.
Cocaine.
Oh, yeah. Those guys love to blow.
So
yeah.
they're playing by a different set of rules. And I'm not just saying like an occasional toot.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking mountains of clown powder. Like these are people that we can't relate to. They're
well-known international playboys. Like, they go to places like Monte Carlo and Ibiza. Like, no big deal. They're rich as hell, and they're young.
Mats Wilander.
Yeah, Matts with an S. Matt plural. Right.
These are people that we can't relate to.
Stefan Edberg.
I cannot pretend to relate to them.
No, I can't either. I'll tell you this. Well, this I had to look this up, and this is Boris Becker's ex-wife. Uh-huh. And Boris Becker, Boris Becker, you see him on TV now, and he looks like shit, I'll be honest.
Yeah, done some hard living, I'm sure.
I saw Boris Becker in real life one time. I was in Germany.
Big dude?
He's a big dude. I saw him at a bar in Munich. Yeah. And he's got a type, because I don't think I don't think he was with the ex-wife, and it might have been the current wife.
He's got a Robert De Niro type.
Yes, he likes black women or mixed race women, it looks like. And he was with one when I saw him, and
he's into heavily Democratic women.
Yes, he's a big dude, and this chick he was with was tall, and she was fucking beautiful. Like, he walked in with this chick and everybody turned their head, and then they're like, oh yeah, Boris Becker's also there. So he's doing something right. But yeah, monster. I mean, he's just
he's on German.
A level that we don't understand.
He's German.
Yeah. German monster. Great initials though. Okay. Here's another one. Guys, as you have noted on recent episodes, the quality of the emails and voicemails have been garbage lately. We, your loyal listeners, have let you down. In the place of our bogus emails for a few episodes, may I suggest a few topics for discussion while we replenish our good content? Some of my suggestions. Here we go, Ed. He's bulleted them.
Yeah, let's do it.
Con Air. Here's the problem with that. Ed is a world-renowned expert. You think the guy knows a lot about 90210 or the Baltimore Orioles. This guy knows Con Air. Con Air is like the Zapruder film for Ed. Meanwhile,
hey Brent, you know,
I saw it once.
Yeah, you know how you did the last week? You put some companion pieces, and they were great.
Yeah.
Just for his purposes, repost from like 8 months ago. Remember, who of the Con Air cast would you most like to have babysit your kids?
Yes.
Did a whole column about them.
Yes, it was pretty funny too. We'll repost that this week. The problem is I could never hold my own in discussion of Con Air with Ed, unfortunately. No. Here's another one. Do we really have to have the Olympics this year? That's a great question. And the answer, of course, is no.
No, I totally disagree.
Oh my God.
I love the Olympics.
Oh my God, I hate the Olympics.
I love the Olympics more than almost anything but the NCAA tournament. And I don't know why. I don't give a shit about these sports for the 3.5 years in between, but I do. I love Olympic sports. I love sprinting, and I love shot put and taekwondo and boxing, like all these random things.
Here's the problem. Some of that shit I like too, but they hardly show any of it. Like, I want to watch boxing. They might show Bob Costas might jump in with one American guy fighting.
1988, I agree. But now everything is televised. So now, the NBC, all NBC is going to be is diving and gymnastics. But all you have to do is go to CNBC or USA Network, any of the bullshit subsidiaries, and that's where you get the real events.
I'll have a look at this Olympics, because I'm not into all the swimming. Here's what I'm into.
Track and field.
I'm into boxing, wrestling. I like track and field, but like you're talking about, the off events, the javelin, the fucking hammer throw, shit like that.
But I'm not into it a year from now. I'm into it just every 4 years.
Of course. And the other thing I'm into is rooting against the United States men's basketball team.
Yeah, I don't understand how people are into it. Like, it's not fun to me to cheer for a country that has all the resources.
Yeah,
I'm fine with individual athletes. I cheer for the Americans in every other event, but in the team things like that, I'm not on board with cheering for Kevin Durant. Like, oh, look at this underdog story.
Yeah, same. And when our college kids used to go over there, and the other countries would send their professionals to play, and I didn't care. Like, I'm fine with our college kids losing to their professionals. I don't need to see professional basketball players in the Olympics. It's not interesting to me. I don't like it. So I root against the USA, of course. Here's another one. The Beverly Hills Cop. This is another topic. The Beverly Hills Cop theme song. Is that dun 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 dun?
Axel F, right?
Yeah, that's it. Herbie Hancock.
You and I had a text exchange when Glenn Frey died. And I said, and this is probably the same for this Herbie Hancock thing. Just like that and Neutron Dance from Pointer Sisters. Nice. Like, I have a fondness for these songs in that context. Like, I like the cigarette truck chase. But if I heard Neutron Dance elsewhere,
no,
this is garbage. Just like, if you heard Axel F just like hanging out, you'd be like,
totally,
what the fuck is this?
Yeah, turn this off.
Right.
Get this off right now.
This is all garbage, but it works when Axel Foley is chasing down Victor Maitland.
Totally agree. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Okay, here's another one. Maybe like a bunch of episodes on The Wire. I mean, we could turn this show into a Wire podcast if we wanted to.
Yeah, but The Wire is like reading a book.
It is.
A great book, but like you wouldn't just say, oh, you know, let's discuss chapter 8 of Old Man in the Sea or something. Although Hemingway pretty much sucked, so.
Yes.
I mean, right. Chapter 8 of Confederacy of Dunces, that's a great book. But yeah, you wouldn't discuss like a chapter at a sequence. Like, The Wire was a beautiful book. It played out like a book. It was not one of these, fast action TV shows. It all played out nicely.
I still am having a hard time reconciling the fact that Wallace is Apollo Creed's son.
And he got yoked.
Yeah.
Yoked.
He got fit.
Yeah.
Crazy. Okay. How Ed hasn't gone insane. Living in New York's rusty little brother, New Jersey. Oh my God, shots fired.
Well, there's a couple things here. One, you know how I feel about state pride. Yes. You can all go fuck yourselves with your state pride. I don't give a shit about any other section of New Jersey but my section.
Yes.
But I love Hoboken. I will take the Pepsi challenge of Hoboken. Like, the people are like, we're New York City residents, and they live in Brooklyn. The last two times I've been in Brooklyn, and like, no joke, I got off the subway, and in both times, there was a guy on a unicycle riding by. Like, it is every bad stereotype you would think.
You're just shocked that you didn't see a guy on a penny farthing.
Yeah, fucking steampunk central. But like,
Hoboken is like the sixth borough. Right? I mean, it basically is New York. And
Hoboken, it takes me 6 minutes to get to Manhattan on the train. Like, it's right there.
And from Hoboken, you can see Manhattan. Like,
we get the view
of Manhattan because you're in Hoboken across the
river. If you're in Manhattan, you're looking at Jersey. It sucks.
Yes.
But yeah, I love Hoboken, but like, don't try to like get me all ruffled up, like taking shots at Jersey. Like, Jersey for the most part sucks. And guess what else sucks? Every other state, every single one, you could point to most of the state, and it's terrible.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I wouldn't disagree with that. I wouldn't
ask you to defend Sacramento.
No, of course.
Like,
not. It's
just the way it goes.
No,
most states are terrible.
The whole middle of California and most of the top is pretty shitty. I did notice that Mike Trout was on the Weather Channel talking about the blizzard the other day.
He's a Philly suburb guy.
Yeah, he's got that Philly accent, and he's from like Millville or someplace I've never heard
of. Pride of Millville, but it's Philly.
Right.
South Jersey. All their TV stations are Philly. Like, he's not from my section of Jersey.
That's what I thought. That accent. Okay, here's another one. What the fuck is Tumblr? Ed, I've discovered Tumblr. And I know what it is. Do you want me to?
I would like you to, because I only know it as like a free website,
right?
I don't have thoughts on it.
It's a good place to peruse pornography. It's loaded to the hilt with dirty, dirty pornography, GIFs and GIFs and videos and pictures. It's a fantastic pornography repository. Well, I don't know what else it's for.
How do you get there?
You just go on it.
You go on Tumblr. Are you looking for something like the Google search will take you to a page on Tumblr? Or is like Tumblr just known to be porn?
Yeah. Well, no, you go to Tumblr and then you like, it's like any other site you follow. So you see something you like and you're like, I want to follow that. And then it just shows up in your feed, like Facebook or Twitter. Right. Same idea. Anyways, sorry for this trash email. Keep up the good work, Zach in Denver. Zach, that was a fantastic email, and all your emails are good. So good job on you. Okay, Ed, email's out of the way. We got a voicemail. It's Kyle and Scanny, and I almost did this for you guys because Kylan Scanny, he left this voicemail. But the best part of Kylan Scanny's voicemail is that he left the same voicemail three times, but stopped in different places and then picked up. And then I got another voicemail and it's him starting from the beginning. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I've heard this. And then he would leave a little bit more and I'm like, and then just stop talking and hang up. And it wasn't like they were 5 minutes apart. Like the last one he left was at 5 p.m. one day. And then
he's conscientious.
Yeah. And then the next day at 8:30 a.m., he leaves another voicemail. And where he finally finishes his topic. So it's I'm not going to make
love,
everybody listen.
Love is not a strong enough word I have for Kyle.
He's great. So I'm not going to play all three for everyone. I'll just play the final bit, but I'll just say this. Imagine this stopping at two different points in the same soliloquy, and you can imagine the three voicemails I got. But he's got some important information. Let's hear from Kyle and Scanny.
Hey, guys. Kyle here. Getting back to you on the Amish deal. I asked him, he didn't want to come on. He said, just ask the questions. I'll get the answers. As far as those movies, Ed, he has not seen them. I don't know if you guys remember, a few years back, there was that Amish Mafia or some bullshit show on TV or whatever. He did watch that, and he said that was all fake. It was all bullshit. But ironically, he is on a bowling league, so I think he's averaging like 120, 130. I don't know, pretty good bowler, I think. And he's missing his fucking index finger. He cut that fucker off in a saw working on the wood mill. I guess that's what I got on the Amish. And as far as Brian, shame on you breaking those wrists. Why did you add 30 more pounds after you already maxed out? Fill me in on that logic, because 30 pounds seems like quite a big jump. So, yeah, catch you guys later.
Whoa.
Kyle and Scanny.
The gold standard.
Putting it down.
Well, first of all.
Yes.
Kyle, your buddy hasn't watched, like, ask anybody to name two Amish-related movies, and he hasn't seen
Kingpin
either of them?
And Witness.
Yeah. But he's watched, like, some Bravo or TLC, you know, reality show.
Yeah, it's a little
come
weird
on.
Yeah,
come
yeah
on.
He knows about the Amish Mafia. I mean, he's a little bit younger. He's got a good bowling game. This 120,
maybe,
130 average.
Maybe.
That sounds pretty good.
Unless he's doing 1.5 frames.
No, he said, I think he said, it might have been one of his earlier emails that he said that, or voicemails, that he said that he bowls the requisite amount of frames, 10 frames. But I do, as he plays with a physical handicap in that he's missing his finger.
Yeah, a very Amish related accident.
Yes, he took the index finger off in a saw. Awful. And he's right. Shame on me. Shame on me for trying to go big on my squat and breaking my wrist. I don't. What can I say? Like,
you're
Kyle
on the mend.
Scanny knows.
At this point, you're on the mend.
Yeah, I'm mostly better at this point. Excellent voicemail, Kyle and Scanny. Always welcome. Okay, Ed. Let's talk some sports. The Seahawks have been in the news. We just last week had the NFC and AFC championships. Tom Brady was vanquished by sad Peyton Manning and the sad ducks he threw all game. Very ugly game. What is going on in the world of sports? What do we need to know about?
Well, let's, you know, Seahawks. Let's start with a little slice of life, one of their players. This will be fullback, and not to be confused with the 1989 Syracuse power forward, Derek Coleman.
Yes.
Good old Derek decided to smoke some synthetic Mary Jane, a.k.a. Spice. And he felt he was fine to drive in Bellevue, Washington. And a little side note, I once did a sales call in Bellevue, Washington. and just killed it. They're big buyers there.
Really? Oh, yeah. you make a big commission on that trip, huh?
Of bonds.
Oh, nice. Nice job.
But yeah, so if anyone wants to sell bonds to someone, go to Bellevue. But anyway.
Sell the fuck out of bonds. I would need to know what bonds were first. And please, don't explain them to me.
Guess what?
Don't tell me what bonds are.
The only thing that would make me more tired than listening to Bachelor conversation would be bond conversation.
Oh, that's great.
Anyway, Coleman felt fine to drive, then immediately went 60 in a 35. He hit a car, and then, like, if you hit a car, what would be your move?
I'd stop. Get out and get my information and be like, hey, don't admit fault. It's the number one thing it says on your insurance card. Just keep it to a minimum. Take pictures of your insurance cards. Pull over to the side of the road. Make sure everybody's okay. I'm sure that's what he did.
Yeah, well, he thought about that. And then Derek Coleman did the other move, and he just kept accelerating. He just kept accelerating until with his Dodge Ram, and just kept accelerating until the car flipped over. Car flipped over.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then he took off on foot, which onlookers have said barefoot. I might add.
Oh no! Pretty sure it's illegal to drive barefoot, by the way. Okay.
But he's he's a fullback. You know, he's a blocking back, but
yeah.
He still just only got two blocks away before he was actually arrested.
He's a fullback, so he's a white guy out of Nebraska?
Yeah, either way, the guy is one of those. I mean, NFL fullback means you're as wide as you're tall.
Right.
Right. But anyway, I would like you to tell me what's most embarrassing. The fact that the following was found in his Dodge Ram, and I'll give you a list. A blue and red multicolored glass spoon with a black tarry residue. An open package labeled fucked up aromatic therapy.
Oh no.
3 5-gram pouches of Mad Pitbull's aromatic therapy. A hard candy called Edipure lemon drops containing 100 milligrams of THC. An open package of hard candy labeled Red Delicious containing THC with some loose candies.
Oh my god.
On the fruit roll ups. Labeled watermelon ribbons containing 250 milligrams of THC, ACT mouthwash, Roto Cool Redness Reliever eye drops, 10 millimeter magazine containing 10 live 10 millimeter rounds, or
the final thing,
two slippers near the pedals.
He's driving in slippers. The whole reason that these guys smoke this synthetic marijuana, first of all, synthetic marijuana is just like some leafy shit with chemicals sprayed all over it. It's basically like smoking PCP. Embalming fluid.
I know. I had this conversation with Michelle the other day, and I was like, what point we're going to have the conversation, which is going to be a weird conversation, like telling your kid, hey, weed isn't so bad. Like at this point. You know, my kids are 8 and 6. Well, everything is bad. But like at some point, you're going to have to say like, hey, look, if you want to smoke weed, that's okay. But like this fucking synthetic shit is just a terrible idea.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so the reason that these NFL guys do it is because they get tested for weed. Right. But of course, this guy has tons of candies and edibles with actual THC in them. So yeah, he's smoking the spice, but you still test positive whether or not you smoke it or eat it, dummy.
Yeah, I'm guessing that wasn't a Harvard degree.
And you may as well just smoke it. You live in Washington where it's legal.
Right.
Weed is legal in Washington. The NFL has really got to look at this because they're doing more harm than good. First of all these guys are hooked on Vicodin and all manner of painkillers.
Take all these pills that are going to ruin your liver instead of smoking weed.
Yeah, when they could just smoke weed. Just like let them smoke weed that keeps them off the spice or whatever it is. Like these guys need to just be allowed to smoke weed.
Yeah. I got another Seahawks related news.
Okay.
A fan named Sarah started a petition on Facebook to ban Carolina quarterback Cam Newton from ever playing in Seattle. This is her quote. Cam Newton is one of the most unprofessional, unsportsmanlike individual in the face of the planet. That's her actual words. Yeah. So I say for the 2016-2017 season, when the Panthers come to play in Seattle, he should be banned from entering the stadium. This should teach him to put his arrogance in check, wrote somebody on the Change.org petition. The petition was approaching 1,000 signatures Tuesday. Apparently, Newton disparaged someone's Seahawk flag congratulating the 12th man a couple of weeks ago. Like, they waved it in his face and he threw it on the ground. So, Brian, what's the most embarrassing part for Seattle? The fact that they didn't invent the 12th man thing. That was Texas A&M. They have to pay royalties on it.
That's right.
Or, yet they take such pride in. Or that someone brings a flag to a game and is actually proud to advertise it.
Yeah, the 12th man thing is pretty embarrassing. Seattle's got that thing that, like, a lot of cities have where they're like, we're so great, like, people are jealous of us. And, yeah, they won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and that's good for them. They had a really good defense.
Yeah, I'd like to have that success, but, like, I would not like to be one of these people wearing number 12 jersey.
But before they won the Super Bowl, I still thought they were in the AFC. Like, I was like, whoa, holy shit, Seattle. Just fucking, they're representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. They're like, did somebody get something screwed up?
Yeah, they beat the Raiders so many times they got to the NFC.
Yeah, like, now they're in the NFC. Nobody even knew that. They're way at the top of the corner of the country. Nobody gives a fuck about you, Seattle. Nobody's gunning for you. Nobody cares that you're loud. Like, nobody, you're not of consequence in the major scheme of things. You don't matter in the NFL. You're not going to win the Super Bowl again. It's enough. And we've had enough of you.
And flags. Even if flags. Let's say you're an asshole who likes the 12th man, celebrating. Somebody's got a flag, the seat in front of you. You're a terrible person.
Yeah.
Somebody paid for a ticket and they've got to stand behind someone waving a flag. Flags are never tiny. Like, you can't even see the game.
No, that's awful. You shouldn't be allowed to bring them in. Also, the 12th, like, being loud, that's basically like doing a full-time wave. Like, you're really, really into it, and which is embarrassing. You should be embarrassed of that. Being too vocal and too much of a participator is bad for one's look. Hey, something good happens on the field, give them a cheer. But yell the whole game.
No, also, in the crunch time when the other quarterback can't hear from shotgun, like, that's a time to be loud, but, like, sure. Just being proud. Guess what? The Seahawks didn't make the Super Bowl most of the years of our lifetime.
That's right.
And that was the same 12th man. Like, oh, you can't handle us. Isn't it weird how the fans got so great when their defense was incredible and Marshawn Lynch was running over people?
Yeah, exactly.
Then all of a sudden the fans were the difference maker.
That's right.
Get the fuck out of here, Seattle.
Get the fuck out of here, Seattle. I agree. Okay, and what's – something happened with the Broncos and Tom Brady?
Well – I mean, in the feel-good story of the weekend, the Broncos beat the Patriots, so we don't have to deal with New England in the Super Bowl again. But, in the 2018 loss Sunday, the Denver Broncos harassed and harangued. I like that word.
Yeah, it's a great word, harangued.
Tom Brady relentlessly while beating the Patriots Sunday. Denver hit Brady more than he'd been hit in any game this season. The pummeling was so bad that New England actually fired its offensive line coach after the game.
Yeah, they couldn't protect him. They were overwhelmed by the Denver defense.
It's like a turnstile. Like, yeah. DeMarcus Ware, who was run out of Dallas because he was out of gas. That guy was doing just fine this weekend. But anyway. Yeah,
Von Miller was very active. He had an interception and he slipped and fell. Otherwise, he was going to take that thing to the house. That was a pick six that he had.
But the worst part for Brady is Bronco defenders badgered him with hanging brains. Quote, I tried to lay on him a few times, an unidentified Broncos defender said after the game. I tried to rub my nuts.
Oh my God.
On that's his face.
That should be a lifetime suspension.
Yeah.
Brian. Weaponizing your ball sack in a gladiator sport. That should be a lifetime suspension.
Yeah, what's the worst thing when you're Tom Brady lining up? Are you worried about head injuries now or an apple bag to the dome?
Yes, exactly. That's definitely a good psych out technique. If you know, hey, if these guys get to me, I could be getting atomic sit up out here. Like, I need to keep my head above water. I got to get rid of this football or somebody could be dangling brain on my eyelids. Like, it really makes a difference.
No, I'm on record. I have some NFL linebacker, dong experience in my life, but
Brandon Spikes.
I don't know, but I would imagine a guy named DeMarcus probably has a lot of equipment to
imagine what you saw in that Brandon Spikes was packing. Imagine that even just through the thin lycra of football pants, that thing just rubbing right up against your cheek, like grinding.
Yeah. And I'm not Tom Brady fan.
No.
But like that guy, you know.
He doesn't deserve that.
What did he do?
Guy's just a good player.
He's just good at his craft.
It's a tough one when Denver is playing New England to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's basically like everyone at home is rooting for a Tomahawk missile or.
Well, that's the old, you know, AIDS versus syphilis kind of thing.
Right. It's just like such a bad outcome either way. Ed.
Yeah.
There's a dude from Chile.
Hmm.
Milijenko Parcerisas Bukovic.
Hmm.
It's an interesting name for.
Yeah.
Sounds Yugoslavian. Sounds Croatian.
Is he German?
Yeah. Anyway, he's a huge fan of the actress Julia Roberts, Ed.
Hmm.
And to show his appreciation for the Academy Award winning actress, can we fact check that? There's no way she's won an Academy Award. The 56-year-old Chilean newspaper vendor has tattooed 82 images of Julia Roberts' face on his body. He said he started. This is going to shock you. He said he started getting the tattoos after watching her film Erin Brockovich.
Whoa.
And Ed, he has since spent $1,000,000, which is approximately $2,500 on the tattoos. And he plans to get more ink work done on his chest, back, and arms as long as there is space and he has the money to afford it. All of the tattoos he has were inspired by various films, scenes from her films. Ed, what's more shocking? Considering the enormity of her lips and teeth, that someone could fit 2, much less 82 images of Julia Roberts on their body, or that a Chilean newspaper vendor could put together $2,500 US.
Well, that's the big one. Because
right, that's a lot of money.
Newspapers are dying in America, and we are just throwing away money in this country versus Chile.
Yes.
And I really would love a breakdown, because I need to know what movies this guy picked. Like, do you think he picked
the one where? Well, she's famous for that one where she's a whore,
right? But
she's got a heart of gold.
At least there, the hooker with a heart of gold,
right?
Like, at least there's, you know, sexy outfits. I would assume. I mean, I saw that movie like 20 years ago, but. Yeah, I mean, Erin Brockovich, I remember she was kind of showing cleavage in that movie.
Yeah, but I
also... But like trashy hair, kind
of. I also feel like she wasn't even as hot as the real Erin Brockovich at the time.
I'm not opposed to her looks, I just, it's a bit much, that tattoo fetish.
Yeah, it's a little over the
top. It's a bit. I'm trying to think of her movies, like... I remember when we were kids, her like breakout right before
Mystic Pizza.
No, even before that was a movie called Satisfaction, which was supposed to catapult Justine Bateman to fame.
I recall.
And it was like the Justine Bateman vehicle turned into the Julia Roberts coming out party, and I'm still unsure why Bateman just went the way of Skippy. Nobody ever heard of her again.
She's done a lot. Julia Roberts has done a lot of romantic comedies. Also, yeah. I have an issue with Pretty Woman, because it really gives you the wrong idea of what a streetwalker is. Like, they make it seem very glamorous to go out there and put your knee-high boots on and walk around on Hollywood Boulevard offering blowjobs for money. Like, it's a dirty, dirty job, and yet here's Pretty Woman making it seem like it's just the cutest thing in the world to be a street-walking whore.
Yeah. Yeah, your biggest obstacle as a streetwalker is Costanza being a little nasty with you.
That's right, a little too rough. Shocking. Ed, let's get into it. We got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about today in Fancy Pop. It is time for Fancy Pop. Joining us now, everyone's favorite part of the show. Of course, I'm talking about our own baller lifestyle, pop culture / bachelor correspondent, Fancy Sauce. How you doing, Fancy?
Here she is.
Hey, Fancy.
What are some iconic Julia Roberts roles? Like, if I was going to get 82 tattoos of Julia Roberts on my body, what movies would they be from? Pretty Woman, we determined, where she's a whore with a heart of gold.
Right.
What else has she done?
You've Got Mail or something? Pizza. Was she in something like that?
Pizza. I mean, no, she was not in You've Got Mail.
Is that Meg Ryan?
Oh, wait. I'm getting that confused with Sleepless in Seattle.
Pelican is that Brief? Meg Ryan?
That's Meg Ryan.
I honestly, is that John Grisham? Yeah. I've seen plenty of Julia Roberts in my life, but oh yeah, Pelican Brief. Right. But I can't think of that many movies.
She was in one of those Ocean's Elevens. I only ever saw the first one, so she'd have to be in that one. She's in Ocean's 11.
I saw the second one and reminded myself that I should have stopped at one.
But Ed, they had so much fun. Those guys just had a blast making that movie.
The second one was like, hey, let's just film us hanging out at Clooney's Lake Como.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to George Clooney's mansion and make a movie.
Hey, look, rom-com. Don Cheadle doing a cannonball. Let's film it.
She was in that rom-com Notting Hill.
Oh, Notting with Hugh Grant.
Oh, and she was and in that movie. There's a pub that's really good right by, I guess, one of the iconic locations. And people just take pictures nonstop.
At the Notting Hill pub.
Like last summer, I was watching people take pictures. And who's still thinking about that movie?
No one. I haven't thought about it since. What's her big hit, Kathy?
That Erin Brockovich.
Oh, right. Yeah. She won an Academy Award.
Also, she was in that movie Closer, which was really good.
Oh, with Natalie Portman.
Back in the day.
And
oh, Mike Nichols. That was decent, yeah. I think.
She was in Dead Ringers.
Also, Eat, Pray, Love.
Eat, Pray, Love. Didn't see that one. That was a Bali theme. Didn't that take place in Bali, mm-hmm. Kathy?
Part of it did, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what that is? That's somebody finding themselves. I'll never watch that kind of movie.
Oh, no. You don't like people finding themselves.
No. That's for sure. Fuck them.
Real quick, wait, another email. Neil deGrasse Tyson, one of Ed's favorites, and
Jesus shit.
B.O.B. are engaged in a rap battle that started over an argument about whether or not the earth is flat. Ed, I know you love a good hardcore rap battle. Who do you side with? Your boy NDT or Earth Truther and former MTV Teen Choice Award winner B.O.B.? That's from Juan Largo. B.O.B. just spells Bob. Is this guy called Bob? Am I saying
it
right?
His name's Bobby Ray. Bobby Ray Simmons.
He's B.O.B.
I never heard of the guy.
I call him Bob.
I refuse to
call him B.O.B.
I never heard of him.
He's got a good song called Headband with 2 Chainz.
Oh, 2 Chainz. 2 Chainz always wears many more than 2 Chainz. He should be called like 5 Chainz.
12 Chainz. Titty Boy.
Titty Boy, yeah. I love 2 Chainz.
I mean, most of my views on the inner city education system are based on season 4 of The Wire.
Right.
But I can't blame B.O.B. because what I understand, he was a high school dropout. Like, you know, you don't trust the system.
I mean, he's a flat earth.
You don't trust the man.
He's a flat earth truther, Ed.
Okay,
but that's fourth grade.
Fucking Neil deGrasse Tyson. Like, enough with your Twitter followers.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He's fighting a good fight.
You're fighting. What's the fight?
He's
educating people. Everyone with a brain's like, okay, you know, this is a rapper just trying to get, you know, start controversy. Like, no, nobody cares.
Well, if Neil deGrasse Tyson, if we can't go to Neil deGrasse Tyson and his sick floral vest collection.
Some of them are marine themed.
Neatly trimmed mini fro.
Oh,
I've seen some vests with tropical fish on.
He's the answer guy for the realms of the galaxy.
I did a little research and apparently there's an entire flat earth society, 200 members strong, that is purportedly not a joke. There's like YouTube videos that they've made that you can go and watch.
Oh man.
I'm just excited that the year of the celebrity truther is here.
Yeah, absolutely.
In full swing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
B.O.B. rapped about getting ahead on a 10-speed, so I'm on team B.O.B.
Well, that's practically impossible.
B.O.B.
can't even be done.
B.O.B. tweeted a picture of himself. We'll post it on the Facebook page.
Yes.
But basically, it's him standing in like a park, and in the way distant is, I guess it's L.A.
Yeah.
And he says in his tweet that goes along with this image, the cities in the background are approx 16 miles apart. Where is the curve? Please explain this.
Oh, shit. Boom.
And
yeah, like he doesn't realize started how big the rant. Earth is.
Right. The Earth is massive.
Like, Earth's got to be at least like 36 miles all the way around, right?
I like that Neil shut it down with this tweet after many back and forth
how cool.
Tweets.
He shut down a guy who didn't even finish high school. But like, fuck Neil deGrasse.
Neil's just the guy you turn to here.
No, right. Why do we have to turn to him?
He's
why don't
an
we
expert.
Just turn to our own brains? He needs to inject himself in every situation.
Like, flat earth
this
truthers,
piece of
like,
shit
run rampant
with a shitty
on
vest
the internet.
Can go fuck himself.
Also, the guy's got great vests and a mini fro, eh? I love him.
His tweet was, dude, to be clear, being 5 centuries regressed in your reasoning doesn't mean we all can't still like your music.
Oh, hey, respect. See, he's a respectful arguer. Good for him.
So shortly after he let loose a song called Flatline that features both an out-of-context chunk of Tyson discussing the formation of the Earth as well as some casual Holocaust denial.
And you know what? That song actually sounded okay.
Oh, my God.
Then sadly, I guess if you're Neil deGrasse Tyson's nephew, who's also a rapper, never has the world called on your presence more than after your uncle's been dissed by a rapper that believes the Earth is flat, and he released a diss track in response. It's a not a good track.
It's see now this.
It's not a
this,
good track.
This could get me to side with Ed because while I'm on board with Neil deGrasse Tyson, I am not on board with Neil deGrasse Tyson's nephew rapping. That I cannot get with.
I listened to the song. It's bad.
I'm sure it is. Okay, what else is going on, Kate?
Well, Mariah Carey is engaged to her billionaire Australian boyfriend, James Packer.
Australia's fourth richest man.
That's right. They've just leased a mansion in the Oaks.
He's Australia's fourth richest man?
That's right.
That's right.
Australia is full of talent.
Yeah.
And Mariah, at this point, you know.
I was never into her.
I mean, I think in the mid-90s when she was tip top, I guess she was attractive,
yeah,
but like
the body was on point for a while. Short,
but I'm just saying she is sloppy at best.
I have
she's
never looked at her and thought that she was attractive.
And this guy, let's be honest, this guy James Packer, he's no looker himself. I mean, but he's rich as hell, and that's all
hang
that matters.
Hang on.
Men don't
cash
have to be lookers if they're
king
cashed up.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. He's
cash
rich.
Cash is king. Doesn't matter what he looks like. This world, we can point to a billion
reasons
where guys can find hot chicks.
He could do better. I do know that they're both still married to other people, which I feel like could be an...
I heard Nick Cannon's not happy about this.
Obstacle.
She apparently has full custody of their kids, which
I
found weird.
That's crazy.
So anyway, I love gross displays of wealth. So let me tell you about the house they've just leased.
Yes.
It's in the Oaks, which is a fancy gated community in Calabasas, which is home of the Kardashians. It's
so far, so
18,000 square feet on 1 acre, sweeping views. All the stones imported from Italy. There's a theater, sauna, gym. The house took over 5 years to build. It's never been on the market. The lease price was apparently around $250,000 a month.
That's a lot.
I mean,
that's a lot of money. Also, way
crazy
out there in Calabasas, so hot.
Yeah, a little hot.
You know what? You know what's the great indicator of when cash is king is when you see a hot mom with really ugly kids.
Yeah,
and you know, you're like, well, we know why your life is laid out the way it is.
There's some rich, short, fat, tubby, bald piece of shit that she's married to.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have to be a piece of shit. So easy.
Yeah,
he's probably
does
a very nice guy. But not in this fantasy. Okay, Kate, what else is going on?
Thought I'd bring a bit of sports to Fancy Pop. By the way,
I
heard my name mentioned in vain in relation to a sports
team
earlier.
That's not true. I just said the person I said the person I live with. That could be anybody.
Super rude.
That could be anybody.
Just want to put that on the record.
People don't know we cohabitate.
Tiger Woods' alleged mistress,
which
Amanda
one?
Boyd Duffner.
Oh, who? Right. Jason Duffner's ex
has apparently bought, well, you know that they had a steamy affair. That was apparently why they broke up.
That's a rumor.
Well, she has just coincidentally bought a house in Jupiter, Florida, a couple of miles away from Tiger's house.
Shut up.
Yeah, property records show that she purchased a 3-bedroom, 3-bathroom house, paid cash in May 2015.
Wow. See, I used to follow her on Instagram, but when she got divorced from Jason Duffner, she deleted her Instagram. So I haven't been able to keep up with the happenings of Amanda Duffner.
People think that that's a little weird.
Wow, it is a little weird.
Is this all part of her plan to become the next Mrs. Tiger Woods?
Well, she's an attention seeker, so who knows?
By the way, I went to Jupiter, Florida once in my life, family friend's house, and while I was there, I visited the Burt Reynolds and Friends Museum.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
I have a koozie there. Wow. It's a pretty sweet koozie.
That is pretty sweet.
How much do you think?
And all they do is they have like a ton of Smokey and the Bandit and then a bunch of Evening Shade memorabilia.
Smokey and the Bandit, the one with the chimp orangutan?
No, that's
Every Which Way But Loose.
That's Eastwood.
Smokey and the Bandit.
That's Any Which Way But Loose.
There's no animal in Smokey the Bandit. It's just Smokey is Jackie Gleason. He's a cop. It's like in the South. And apparently, back then, at some point.
Oh, and Inner Prime Sally Field.
Inner Prime. They were a couple. Burt Reynolds and Sally Field.
She was looking good.
She was real good. She was real good looking. But apparently, back then, it was a real big deal to drive beer from one state to another.
It was Coors.
And so there's a whole.
Was it Prohibition?
It wasn't Prohibition, but it's. I don't know.
They were going from Texarkana to like Florida.
Yeah.
It was not.
So the whole point of the movie is they were smuggling beer, and Burt Reynolds had a cowboy hat and a Firebird,
and he only took his hat off for sex.
That's right. That's exactly right. Hmm. All right, Kate. What else is going on?
That's it, really. I just have a question.
Yes.
What do you think? How much do you think Jason Duffner is worth?
Oh, okay. Jason Duffner is a top 25.
Okay.
Golf pro. Is this post divorce because he had to break Amanda Duff chunk
before divorce.
Golfers are very wealthy.
Okay, like how much do you think
I would say that Jason Duffner conservatively is worth between $20 and $25 million.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. How much?
I honestly have not even heard of Jason
Duffner. He's a good player, and I hear a lot about him because people think we look alike, he and I.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So how much do you think she got in the settlement? Because I know. I have it
she
here.
I remember this. She got a house, and she got like – they didn't have any kids, and they also hadn't been married that long. So she actually made out pretty well. She got a house and like $3 million.
It just says here that she received a $2.5 million lump sum as well as a Mercedes SUV.
And a house, I think.
And a house.
Yeah. They were only married a few years.
She's after Tiger Woods. I'm just going to put that on the record right now.
Yeah. She stays in shape.
Yeah, that's it. I'm doing a short, tight, fancy pop this week.
Yeah. Good for you.
Thanks.
Great job. Ed, as always, fantastic job on your end.
Oh, my Bachelor.
Excellent job.
My Bachelor recap week 4 is up on the website. If you guys want to check it out.
Bachelor.
Olivia has gone crazy.
Yes. If you're not, and I'm still feeling JoJo. I'm feeling JoJo and I'm feeling Becca.
Last night, Ben was feeling them both.
Yeah.
Is the really? The black chick that you said Jubilee. Is she still around? Yeah,
she's there, but she's a train wreck. Ed. She's not going to let, she's going to self-destruct.
Ed. Not only, so last episode, they had a one-on-one date and she got in a shimmery LeMay bikini that looked like she was in a Biggie video.
It sounds delightful.
Yeah. And then last night, out of the blue, they had a talent competition where she played the cello.
Whoa.
That's a big, big range.
It is, but that's not a hot instrument.
No, it isn't, but she's got skills. Also, she was in the shit in Fallujah. She's a war vet. I don't see her going the distance, though.
She seems a little unstable to me.
But has she, at this point, has she already lasted longer than any?
I think so. She's
black chick or black person in reality TV.
That's only week four. I think
TV.
Amber she's gone, lasted a while in Christmas gone, season. I have to look that up.
She's gone deep for a woman of color. I'll say that.
Well, she's not just kind of hanging around on the outskirts like they usually do. Yeah. Like, she's a featured one.
So, and I'm gonna throw this out there.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a prediction right now to all our Bachelor fans out there. Listen to me. JoJo gets deep in the game and that at some point makes a play to leave so she can become the next Bachelorette.
I mean, maybe.
Prediction.
She might fall in love with this band dude.
I don't see it happening. Okay, guys. Excellent job, everybody. Thank you so much, Ed Daly. Thank you so much, Kate, for Ed Daly. For Kate McManus, I'm Brian Beckner. This has been the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. We will see you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.